Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Awesome. Why don't you just put your hands to heaven? You know, I just really sense, I'm gonna preach for a little bit, maybe 20 minutes, and then I'll really wanna just minister to people. But before we get to that, I just sitting there, I just sense so much that, you know, that this house is fertile ground. And there's something in the soil of this house that makes it incredibly fertile. And it's not anything to do with a name, whether it's Pneuma, whether it's Richmond Temple, whether it's Bridge. It's not anything, it's this house has a special place in the heart of God. And the soil is incredibly fertile. And I just feel like God wants you to know, I'm going to pray into this in a moment. I literally was just sitting there and God's already done incredible things in this house over however many, 100 years or whatever it's been. And stuff has happened all over the world. But I just sense that there's so much more to happen. And what the thing that I just sense is that it's like, as I'm looking in this room, what I said, something like an incubator, it's like fertile soil. So many kingdom things are going to happen in this soil, in this house, that are then going to cause kingdom assignments to touch the ends of the earth. And some of those kingdom assignments will have a name attached in a sense, but some will just be people that were sitting in this fertile atmosphere and environment and will get a creative idea, will get a business idea, will get some kind of God leading that literally will cause kingdom assignments to happen to the ends of the earth. And so, you know, and when we say the soil of this house is fertile, we're always talking about a people group. Because it's not the building. It's the people that are here right now. There is fertile soil. And I just want to pray right now. And I just even believe that as I pray, God's going to put creative ideas in people's hearts. God's going to put kingdom assignments in people's hearts. And so just close your eyes. Father, I thank you that the ground that we stand on is fertile soil. And God, I pray right now for the heart of every person. And I declare kingdom seeds to come. And let them spring to life in the name of Jesus, Father. Let them cover the earth. Let them spring to life and bring kingdom change. God, even as I speak right now, I pray for creative ideas to come. I pray for business people right now for kingdom expansion ideas. God, I pray within the arts, I pray within government, I pray within ministry and church planning and all of it, God, I declare right now, let there be a shift in the name of Jesus. And I just see it. I see little shoots just shooting and shooting and shooting and shooting. Kingdom assignments that will cover the earth. Father, we thank you for what you've already done up to this point. But God, we are in anticipation for every new kingdom assignment that you're gonna do through this house. A house that is so dear to your heart. A house that is fertile soil. A house that has the smile of heaven upon it. Father, bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Why don't you just grab your seat? And, you know, like I said, I'm going to just share for a bit. And probably it's going to be, I don't know, give me a wave if you've never heard me speak before. Just can I? Yeah, cool. A heap of people. I love this house. I've been here many times over the last kind of 10 years. And, you know, what I'm passionate because I grew up here in Melbourne. I was a drug addict. I had drug-induced psychosis. And it was one encounter with God that literally changed everything. And so I'm a person that believes in the power of God. I don't just say that one touch can change everything. One touch changed everything. It healed a mind that had drug-induced psychosis. It broke a 10-year addiction off of my life in a moment in the presence of God. And, you know, I want to just pray into that. And I just feel like God wants to do some stuff in this place. And I've called this message the good soil. And you know, if I be honest with you, I was an itinerant preacher for 9 years, preached all around the world, some of the biggest churches in the world. We planted a church for 3 years on the Gold Coast. And in January, we felt that season shift. And I've stepped back into full-time travel and now away every weekend. And most times when you go and preach, you kind of have a heap of messages that you carry. And you know God's on them. And they're the ones you normally preach. And as an itinerant minister, I'd rather preach those ones because I kind of know them. And you know, this one I've only preached once before. But as soon as I knew I was coming here, I just felt the assignment that God wanted me to speak this message and then minister. Really, it's a message about hearts. And you know, I remember probably one of the first times where God kind of spoke this revelation to me. I was on the road. It was about nine years ago. I was traveling around the world and I was part of a team and someone on that team, the key leader, kind of with many of my other peers and friends said some things about me that were really mean-spirited. They weren't true. They weren't correct. And one of my friends who probably shouldn't have done this, but I was driving to preach at a youth camp. And, you know, about 60, 70 kids. And while I'm on my way there, one of my best friends, because he loved me, he rings and says, "Hey, I want to tell you, so-and-so, this mentor leader, said this thing about you in front of all these people." And probably wasn't the best timing for him to tell me that. I'm about to go minister at a youth camp, so thanks, buddy. But he told me this thing, and I'll never forget. If I be honest with you, I'm in the youth camp, and, you know, you're trying to just pray about what the Lord's going to do to these young kids. But all I'm thinking is it's going around in my head what this person said about me. And then, you know, when you get to that place and then you've got your rebuttal, do you know what I mean? Of what I will go and say to this person that said these things about me. And then I finish and by the grace of God, God touched these kids on the youth camp. And you know, then I go to bed at night. And if I be honest, all I'm thinking about is what this person said about me. And I even got in my notes on my phone, I'd write out my rebuttal, word for word of what I will say to this leader, this person that said these things and why this was wrong and that was wrong. And then the next morning I'm in the youth camp again and I'm trying my hardest to think about ministering to these kids. But again, all that's going on in my head is what this leader said about me and what my rebuttal will be. And when I get back, I'm going to ask for a meeting and I'm going to talk. And it really started to consume my heart. This thing got in my heart. And I'll never forget this moment. It probably went for about, I don't know how long exactly, but maybe a week. 4 hours. Where it was 4 hours. There you go. See, I was exaggerating and he was correcting. It was all right, it was 4 hours. It was 7 days and 4 hours. And I got to this moment after about 7 days. And I remember the Holy Spirit spoke so clearly to me because I was about to kind of talk to this person. And he spoke so clearly and it kind of sets up for this message. And it's something that I've lived by ever since this moment. And I remember the Holy Spirit as clear as anything. He said, "Lucas, the only thing you're responsible for is your heart." And it wasn't what I wanted to hear because I wanted to go and talk to the person. Yeah. But I remember so clearly, and it was just this revelation. I can't be responsible for what someone else does. I can't be responsible for what someone else says. The only thing I can be responsible for that is my responsibility, 100%, is my own heart. And I got that understanding and I went on this journey of dealing with my heart and allowing the Holy Spirit to heal my heart. And once I could get to that place of 100% whole in my heart with this particular issue, then I could make a decision whether it was the right thing to talk to this person, because that's not a bad, sometimes that's a good thing, or whether I just let it go. And in that particular case, I got so healed within my heart that I said, you know what, I'm just going to, everything else this person's done in my life has been great and amazing. I'm just going to let this one slip, and I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt that he was having a bad day, and I'm going to choose to love him and believe in him. And you know, amazing, because that particular person, once I stepped out as an itinerant, helped me incredibly to travel all over the world. Imagine if I hadn't have been responsible first to my heart and I went in with my rebuttal that was in my notes, maybe my destiny might not have happened. But the thing that we're responsible is our own heart. And I just want to read a parable. And like I said, I'm not going to go long tonight and I want to pray. But there's a great parable in Matthew. You just got to get your Bibles out because I didn't give the guys the scriptures. So we'll go old school. Matthew 13, verse 1 to 9, and then I'm going to read 18 to 23. I want you to listen to this. It says, the same day Jesus went out of the house and he sat beside the sea. Great crowds gathered around him. So he got into a boat and he sat down and the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, here it is here. A sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on the rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprung up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. And then in verse 18, for a few verses, Jesus explains the particular parable. He says, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word, understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. And really the heart of this story is a father that the soil is your heart. And the heart of this parable is a father, a dad in heaven that wants every heart in this room to be fruitful. He gets pleasure out of seeing you fruitful. And it's this beautiful picture. And what I want to kind of do is, because I don't know, it's a different take on this parable that I want to bring. And the word of God is often like a mirror. And sometimes when we hold up a mirror to where our heart is, we don't always like what we see. But it should always bring hope for the future. Just like if I get in front of the mirror before I come out and I see some spinach and maybe I've been out all day and that's a little hurtful, do you know what I mean? Because I'm like, you know, do I really have friends? And you know, they didn't even tell me about the spinach. But I'm happy for what I'm seeing, although it brings a little bit of pain because now I can bring change. Yeah. And the word is a mirror. And probably, and I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but whenever I've thought about this parable, I've thought about it a different way. I've thought about you're either one of these types of soil and that's kind of final. And we kind of talk about it around salvation. Well, the people that received the word and got saved, they were the good soil. And the other ones that didn't really, you know, get the word of God, well, they were either this one, or this one. But what I want to kind of put to you is that I believe these are seasonal and all of us opt in and out of these different sections of heart. And I would love to say that as a pastor, I've just always had a heart that was good soil, but I'd be lying to you. There's times where I've seen myself in all three of these types of soil that would explain the condition of my heart. And even the fact that there's four, the number four in Bible numerology, it's like a picture of creation or earth. The earth has four corners, north, east, west, and south, four seasons. And if we think about that as well, is this thing that there's four, it's seasonal. We go in and out of these particular things and really always trying our best and aiming to make sure we have good soil, but who knows, it's not always that easy. And so I want to just attempt to hold up a mirror, and then I want to pray for people and see the Holy Spirit do some surgery on hearts in this place. Is that okay? And so I want to look at the first one in verse 4. It says, and he sowed some that seeds fell along the path. The birds came and devoured them. And then in verse 19, he explains this. He says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what is sown along the path. And what I would say, if you're taking notes, this first one, see, what is it that makes, the reason that the seed couldn't grow is because it said it was a path, yes? And what is it about a path? Is a path is what? It's hard. And why is it hard? It's hard because it's been walked upon. And often when we talk about a hard heart, we think about a negative thing. Well, he's got a hard heart. But what I would put to you is all of us have been in places where we have felt that life has walked upon us. And I've allowed my heart to become hard, not because I'm a bad person, but because it's a protective mechanism to protect my heart from getting hurt again. Wow. See, the hard heart is the person that feels like I've been trodden on, I've been walked upon, I've dealt with disappointment, I've dealt with failure, and as a protective kind of measure, I'm going to allow my heart to be hard, have a hard surface because it was walked upon, so that someone can't do that to me again. And often it's a protective mechanism. And in a sense, it does protect you from getting hurt again. Because if you allow your heart to become hard, it is very hard for someone else to hurt you because you have this hard layer that is protecting and saying, well, no one can come in. And so in a sense, it does work. It will protect you. But on the other side of things, the word of God that literally wants to bring a harvest in your life, an incredible blessing, and relationships that can become an incredible blessing, well, they also can't come in because of this hardness. I remember this young girl a long time ago when I was a youth pastor, and this girl had been beaten up by life. And, you know, her dad left when she was little. There was abuse. Her mum and her sisters would call her, you know, just wicked names, this young girl. She went to school. She was bullied at school. She was picked on. And she came to our youth group, and if I be honest, she was a hard person to kind of connect with because there was a protective hard layer that would not let anybody in. And you could normally talk to her for about a minute or two, and then it got so awkward and weird that you'd single one of the other youth leaders, can you come over now and have 2 minutes of awkwardness with this young lady? And we're just doing our best to love her, but there was just a hardness. That wasn't her fault. She'd been so beaten up by life, so many disappointments, so many harsh words, that she'd developed this protective layer that said, I'm not letting anybody else in. And then it was about, she'd been coming for about 5 or 6 weeks, and I preached a message about the love of the Father. And I'll never forget this moment. This girl came to the altar, and literally she wept like a baby for about 45 minutes. It was one of those ones where there's so many tears, it was ugly crying. You know what I'm talking about? It's like, as a minister, you've got to pray like this because there's snot going everywhere. It was. And I prayed for this young lady. And I promise you, without an exaggeration, the next week she was at our youth ministry and she looked radically different. Because God had softened the hardness of her heart so that she could now, he could put the word of God, because he's a father that wants to bring 30, 60, 100-fold. And he dealt with that that hardness within her heart. See, we often look at people and we say it's a negative. Well, he's got a hard heart, but often it's just a protective measure. Because like a path is something that's been walked upon. And really, what is it that makes a path that's hard no longer hard? It's water. It's when a path could be known for being hard, but when it gets enough rain, eventually something that was hard starts to become soft and moldable again. It's the presence of the Holy Spirit that just needs to get into that heart, no matter how much disappointment, no matter how much betrayal, no matter how much hurt. If you just, yes, there's, so, you know, as Christians, sometimes we're so bad at being real and we're like, no, I'm all good. Yeah, I'm always, no, just confess. And you know what? There's some hardness because I'm hurt and I'm disappointed and I feel betrayed. But you know what? I'm going to let the water of the Holy Spirit just keep watering this hardness. And it might not happen in a moment, but I'm going to keep letting him water and water and water. And what once was hard all of a sudden becomes soft and malleable so that he can put the seed of God on the inside again. Just got two more points and then we're going to pray. I might ask the guy to come and play keyboard, preferably someone that knows how to play keyboard. The second heart is this, in verse 5 and 6, it goes on to say, other seeds fell on the rocky ground where they did not have much soil and immediately they sprung up since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched and since they had no roots, they withered away. And then again, Jesus explains it in 21 and 22. It says, yet he has no root in himself, but he endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately falls away. As for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word. Oh, sorry, I was going to the next one, sorry. This is why you should send your scriptures to the person before you come, because then you don't have to like do weird stuff with glasses and show how old you are. But anyway, the second one is this. It's the shallow heart. And again, when we think about that, see, we often think because it was shallow, there was no depth. That's what Jesus is saying. But we also think about this as kind of like, you know, a final destination. I think we think about this parable more. The guy didn't get saved because he had a shallow heart. We don't think of this as a continuation as seasonal. Because let me tell you, it is, see, how do you fix a shallow heart is when I was, before I became a Christian, I was a carpenter. And often we had to dig holes in foundations. And if the ground was rocky and hard, we had to bring in heavy machinery to get through rocky, shallow ground. See, what that speaks of is that the big weapons in the kingdom of God, like prayer and fasting. It's about digging wells. It's about digging depth. It's about digging deep. It's about digging spiritual wells. But I'll show you what I mean by seasonal, because when I first got saved, I did so much fasting. I did so much praying. And most of me traveling all around the world, I can trace back to the wells that I dug 20 years ago. I remember this one time, I was probably only a Christian about 4 months, and I live on the Gold Coast, or I was then, and I got up to this place called Mount Tambourine, and I rang a little Baptist kind of campsite place. I think it was $7 a night, and I went and stayed at there. No one was using it, so I just stayed in a room by myself up in this little kind of campsite, and I was going to do 3 days of water only and just fast. It's probably, like I said, 3-4 months saved. And a friend of mine drove me up there, but he was late, and we got there late. We got there and it was already dark, and the office had closed. So I couldn't go and get the key and work out where the room I was going to stay in. And this guy who was been a Christian a lot longer than me, he said, well, I guess we'll just go back home down the mountain, which was about 40, 50 minutes, and I'll bring you back in the morning. And I remember being so hungry for God, digging spiritual wells. I said, no, it's all right. I'm just going to sleep on that porch. And as a 3-4-month-old Christian, I grabbed my sleeping bag, my doona, had a pillow, a little suitcase, put it on the porch. There's mozzies everywhere. Thank God it wasn't Melbourne weather, it was Gold Coast weather, so it wasn't too bad. But in the dark, I just lay on that porch. And I remember my friend saying he loved the image as the headlights went away and he just saw this young, brand new Christian that said, you know what, I'm gonna sleep on the porch because I'm here to fast and pray. But I say to you that depth, because again, we think of it as final, but I remember a season about 3 years ago, we're living in America. And if I be honest, I was living in a very shallow season. I dug wells many, many years ago, but I was going through the motions. I was preaching at places. I knew all the right things to do and say, but I was shallow. And I remember I had a moment, we're on a staff at a church called Awaken Church in San Diego, and I was on their staff meeting, and God got me so bad that I was like the girl that I was talking about before, ugly crying, messed up. And God was calling me to redig wells. And I remember, I'll never forget this moment because it smashed me. Is as I was getting smashed by God, he said, Lucas, you've become shallow. You need to redig some wells. I remember God giving me this revelation. He said, you know, when a dad has a little baby or a kid, even if it's a strong dad, a man's man, he'll carry a photo of his kid, his daughter, or his, you know, and he'll show people that don't even care. Do you know what I mean? Like just met some random guy. Hey, let me show you like my three-year-old. You got to pretend that you care. But as I was getting messed up and crying because I knew my heart was shallow, I remember God spoke to me as I was on that floor weeping. And he said to me, Lucas, the photo that I carry in my wallet around heaven is that little boy, that young Christian that was laying on the porch, hungry and desperate to dig wells. But what I'm trying to say to you, see some of you might be here and you've never dug any spiritual wells in your life. You've never had times of prayer and just setting yourself apart to really go after God. Some of you, you're like me, you're living off the wells you dug a really long time ago. But you can still be someone that had great depth, but then you're in a season where really your heart has become shallow again. And it's time to redig the wells. I remember a young guy who, in my church, you could so see there was a call of God on his life. He's kind of gone back into the world. But every time he'd talk to me about the kingdom, it was always stuff that happened a year and a half ago. I did this and I did that. And it sounds like it's not a shallow heart, but it's a shallow heart that once had depth, but it's become shallow. The more wells you dig, the more fruitful you become. And then the last one is this, in verse 7. It says in verse 7, other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. And then in verse 22, Jesus explains, as for what was sown among thorns, that is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. And really, and maybe you can write, I don't know where you're at as we hold up a mirror, where you say, hey, if I be honest, my heart feels like it's been pretty trodden on. There's a bit of hardness that I've created a protective layer to protect myself. Or maybe you might say, like me in that season, if I be honest, Lucas, I'm living off the wells that I dug many years ago, and if I be honest, it's been a little shallow. But this third one, it's the worried heart. It's the heart that allows mindsets of fear and anxiety and worry. And those mindsets, what they do is when the word comes and Jesus tries to put the seed of your future, those mindsets, they grab the word and they choke it. Fear, anxiety, it grabs it and chokes it so that it never can become what it's meant to be. I've shared this story before and I might kind of finish with this. But I remember praying for this lady who had major anxiety, so much so that she couldn't even leave her house. She had two beautiful little girls. She's married. She'd kind of go to church. She was going to be on this encounter weekend that I was ministering to people at this encounter weekend, just with 20 people. And the leaders, they told me about her. They said, there's this lady and, you know, it's a big deal that she's coming to this retreat because she's got so much anxiety, she normally can't even leave the house. And so I do my first session. There's 20 people. I've got to pray for all of them. And I think to myself, well, I'll go to her first because I chatted to her before the service and she told me of her problems. And I thought, well, I already know her issues, so I'll go and I'll pray for anxiety. And I'm walking toward her thinking I know what to pray. This is an easy one. As I'm walking, Holy Spirit speaks and He says, anxiety is not the problem, but it's what her dad did to her when she was a little girl. Now my heart starts beating out of its chest because what if I'm wrong? And she's there with her eyes closed. And I just say these words. I say, look, I just felt the Holy Spirit say that actually anxiety is not the problem. It's what your dad did to you when you're a little girl. And she just starts to weep uncontrollably. And I share this picture that I see of God the Father, and He's holding her as she wept and holding her head on His chest in this safe, loving environment. I share this picture, and now she just completely loses herself. She's weeping uncontrollably. Eventually, I get some other leaders to come and keep praying, and I pray for everyone else. And after the service, we're sitting around and having hot chocolates and biscuits, and she sits across from me and she says, when I was about 3 or 4, my mother abandoned us and she left us to live with our stepdad who sexually abused me my entire childhood. She said, I've always believed in God, believed in Jesus. She says, but whenever they spoke about the Father, I could never get it. And she sat across from me and a tear rolled down her cheek and she looked at me and she says, tonight, I met the Father. And in that moment, she was radically set free. Even to this day now, it's been about, I don't know, 4 or 5 years, she's completely set free from all anxiety. See, but what, she was the worried heart, that there was a mindset, there was something in there that no matter what word tried to keep getting in, that mindset would choke the Word of God and prevent it from becoming all that it's meant to be. See, I'm not going to talk about the good soil. The good soil, it becomes fruitful. The word gets in it and it multiplies. But really, you could just describe the good soil when you've dealt with the hardness, you dug down a bit deep, and you got rid of the roots. You've got good soil. But all of us go through seasons where if I was to hold up this mirror, in every season, in different seasons, I would see a different picture of the word that would come into my heart. But the heart of this whole message is a Father that says, hey, if your heart feels trodden on, God wants to rain down His presence. He doesn't want to make you feel bad. You've just set a protective measure to say, hey, I'm going to protect. And it might be that you're not keeping everyone out, but you know deep down, there's just a layer of hardness that you hide pretty well. And it is protecting you, but it's also stopping the fullness of what God wants to do in your life. Or again, maybe it's that shallowness or maybe the worries of the world. I want you to stand to your feet right now.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death, and a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. I thank You that You love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow You. I receive the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that You fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after You. I thank You that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.